When we went to Matthew in the genealogy, in Matthew 1, let me find it here. We talked about the five women that are mentioned in the genealogy, and how special it was that they were inserted in the genealogy, because it was always the men who were mentioned in genealogies. But we had, let's see, we had Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, that are mentioned in the genealogy. And so we talked last week about Tamar. And this week we're going to talk about Rahab. And so I think this is going to be two parts for Rahab, because there's a lot to be said, and you'll know what I mean when I get towards the end. But we're going to begin in Joshua chapter 2, I think. Yeah. But I want to mention a couple things. When we're going through these stories and these women, one of the things that we're going to take away is that God's plan is not thwarted by human sin. And although the messianic line was flawed, it was still redeemed. And that's what God does, right? And also, too, something to mention is that the worthiness of God, or the worthiness of Jesus, does not come from his ancestors. It comes from God. So the fact that he is fully man and fully God is the reason that his worthiness does not come through the ancestral line, even though that was part of his, humanity. He became sin in his humanity for our sakes. So if we look at the scriptures from last week, we see that God's faithfulness eclipses all human merit or good works, right? And it's mentioned also, it was very clear that Judah was in the messianic line, okay? And one of the things that Judah did, although we know he did some really bad things, from last week's lesson, was he sold his brother. And that's human trafficking. You don't think of it like that. And then when we look at our world now, we can relate to so much of the scriptures, because they are there for our encouragement, our training, our teaching, and all that, right? So anyways, the point really is that really God's plan is never messed up or thwarted by humanity's sin. In fact, that was his plan, right? To address that situation and redeem that situation from the beginning of time until the end of time. Okay. And also, too, that God sees potential beyond sin. He has a vision for you beyond sin. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we know we were separated from God at that point, right? But that God saw what we will become. And because God has that kind of attitude towards us, we need to adopt that attitude towards others. We see, and it's true, we see one another's sin, right? But we need to see beyond their limitations and have vision for who God has called them to be, and be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem, right? Sometimes it takes, some strong words, right? But that's all in love as well, to get you to where you need to be. And so I love that God's redemption transforms our identity and our legacy, as we have seen proven throughout all these scriptures that we've been studying in Matthew with the messianic line, right? So today we're going to look at Rahab, and that's in Joshua chapter 2. I'll read it first, and then we'll talk about it. Now, Joshua the son of Nun, sent two men to spy secretly and to go view the land, especially Jericho. Now we know there's a plan for Jericho, right? So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now, in some versions, it may not call her that, although it's assumed that she is a prostitute. She also is referred to as an innkeeper. And so you can't say for sure that's what she was, but if she was an innkeeper, she's providing food, she's providing shelter, and most likely provided women, right? Okay, and so when the spies came, it was told to the king that there were spies searching out the country, right? And so the king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out, verse 3, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. And then Rahab took the two men and she hid them. And so she said, yeah, the men came, but I didn't know where they were from. So here is a case in the scriptures where it is okay to not tell the truth. It's kind of funny, huh? And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. These are the king's spies. And when the gate was shut, they were shut out into the dark. And that's what God does. He shuts the gate to the darkness, to the wicked one, so that God can do what he is intending to do. And we see that panned out in the story. And most of you guys know the story. So they were told to pursue the spies. Well, they thought the spies were had already left and were gone. So that was a strategy by the Spirit. But she took them and in verse 6, and she hid them, right? And hid them under flax on the rooftop. And the men kept going, pursuing outside the gate into the darkness, looking for them and pursuing them. But the gate was shut. So there is no way that God was going to allow them to come back and retaliate or find them. That was God's hand in that. Okay. And so Rahab talked to the spies in verse 9, and she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. So there's already stories going on about all the things that God Almighty did with parting the seas and all the miracles and how he gave victories in warfare and all that. So they heard these reports, believed them, and it caused them to be really faint in heart, right? And full of fear. And it describes it in verses 10 and so on. And then anyways, like in verse 12, Rahab says, I've shown you kindness by hiding you, right? And so she wanted to make an agreement with them, right? That she would be saved. So she let the spies out of the window on a rope in verse 15. And she told them the direction to go. Go to the mountain, hide there for 3 days, and then the pursuers were going to be done looking for them, and afterwards they could go on their way, with freedom in their path. So, again, the men in verse 17, confirmed their agreement with her, and the in verse 18, they're 17, they're talking about the oath. Verse 18, it says, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you bring your fathers, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house and into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours to anybody, then we will be free to break the oath. Okay. So she says, according to your words, so be it. So when we get to the end of this today, I'll mention some things about Rahab. But when we get to the end of this, we're gonna stop where the scarlet cord is, because there's a lot to be said about it, and we'll continue that next week. So two of the spies are sent to the land. They go to Rahab, and this story is really the king's spies versus God's spies, right? The king of Jericho asks for spies, and Rahab hides the spies. And as soon as in Joshua 2, verse 7, as soon as they leave, the gate is shut. And I want you just to get that image in your head, because there are times when God is it so intent on doing a specific thing that he will not let anything get in the way of that being performed, right? Or that being realized or manifested. There are other times when we have to struggle through some things, but in this case, if God has something specific, he will make sure that nothing will get in the way of that, being realized. So Rahab, she acknowledges the Lord's supremacy when she's talking to the spies, and she's saying, "We've heard all these stories, about what God is doing and how he delivered you and all these miracles and, all this stuff." And she chooses the fear of the Lord rather than the fear that comes, that grips and paralyzes somebody. She has the fear of the Lord that prompts action. And that's the kind of fear that we should have, when it's the fear of the Lord, that it prompts us to act on and in faith for whatever the Lord is requiring of us. So she is courageous and brave and full of faith. And her confession is in Joshua 2:11, "For the Lord your God is in heaven above and on the earth below." And that is the truth. She recognized that the Lord God was greater than the idols which were on earth made by human hands. She has a really legitimate conversion. And there's another woman who had another conversion like that, and that was Ruth, right? She was not a believer. None of these were believers, except Mary was Jewish. The rest are all, and think about that, the line of Jesus, the messianic line, most of them were, the majority were from a non-Jewish heritage, which it kind of is the picture of what Jesus did when the church came to be, right? That he came into his own knew him not. And so the Jews did not receive him, and it opened the door for Gentiles. But God's heart always, all throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is always for Gentiles as well as, the Jewish people in Israel. So, and it's realized in Jesus Christ, right? It was limited, kind of a shorthand version of it in the Old Testament, but when Jesus comes on the scene, he recognizes women, he recognizes the poor, he recognizes, Gentiles, he recognizes the demon-possessed, he recognizes the infirm, he recognizes all those that in the hierarchy of the religious system of the day, that they were known to oppress people in that state as if they were better than. And so even as we witnessed this past weekend where, we had the foot washing, we're seeing a different Jesus than the one coming on, in Rome with, an army. He came on a donkey, he washed feet, he healed the sick, he fed the poor, he did all these things, and we're seeing his personality and really who he's a absolute representation of the Father in heaven. And when she says he's from, God's on in heaven and on earth. She's saying he has dominion over everything. She's seeing his supremacy. So again, she was labeled a harlot or a prostitute, but heaven titles her a covenant woman. And when we look at ourselves, we have to remember what God says about us. We are not the old who we were. We are not practicing the things that we did. We are not that person, because that person was buried in the waters of baptism and identified with the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. But see, it's easy to say that, but when it comes to your patterns of thinking, you have to get in alignment with what God says about you. And it makes you confident in God, not confident in yourself, but confident in God. When you hear who God says you are, you see yourself different, and you see yourself like Jesus saw himself, in a way that, you know, he was a servant. He was here to give. He was here to minister. He was here to be poured out, you know, and that's the kind of, when we have confidence in God, we have confidence to do those things. You know, we're not shy about sharing the gospel or being a messenger in any way, whether it's through acts of kindness, words, messages, whatever it may be, right? So keeping in mind that Jericho was marked for judgment, they knew it. When they were hearing all these stories, they knew that they were marked for judgment. And the reason was because of their lifestyle: idols, corruption, violence. We know there's a lot of cities that were mentioned throughout the scriptures that were that kind. You know, when Jonah went to, you know, it was marked for judgment as well, right? So God can pull a woman out of darkness and build a bloodline. That's amazing. And through her, shake the earth. That's what we are doing when we are walking in God's ways. We are marked in his bloodline as his inheritance, and we are going to shake the earth. And let me just say, before we started today, I just felt in my spirit like, it's coming. It's coming. It is coming, guys. I know we have said many times, probably in our hearts, how long, oh Lord, right? Oh God. And I mean, there's days when I get like, I can make it one more day. That's about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then that day comes and I can make it one more day after that. And sometimes it's moment to moment, but guess what? This is a different hour. The time of waiting is over. That's the prophecy. The time of waiting is over, and it is coming. A move of God is coming that will surpass anything you've ever experienced, whether you've been in the last move of God or not. It's going to be different. And so we need to be prepared, right? And again, I'll remind you of the story of the man of the tombs. You know, when we are dealing with people that have been oppressed, traumatized, tormented all their lives with all these emotional, psychological, and physical problems, we have to do something more than just what we've been doing. And so that calls for change. And that is something that you're going to have to go out of your way to do what God wants you to do. It's not going to be safe. It's not in that way. It's not going to be, you know, within these boundaries. It's going to be, God says it. Yes, Lord. Like Mary, you know, according to your word, you know, let it be so. That is what the attitude that God is cultivating in our hearts even now. And he's faithful to do it, because honestly, We have all been through a lot. We've been through a lot, but it is all preparation. Like we say, the crap we go through is fertilizer for the future, right? It is. It makes good soil, right? Fertilizer makes good soil. It stinks when it goes in. It really does. I'm not kidding you. It really does. If you've ever had a garden, you get horse manure or chicken manure. It really stinks, but eventually it integrates and it makes that soil better. So we all have problems. We all have things that we go through, but God is getting ready for doing something way greater in us that honestly, I don't think we could have dreamt of it. And you feel it in you feel it in your heart, just like something growing in that garden. You feel the budding forth of things coming through that dirt. You look, it's like that farmer in the scripture. You look and every day there's dirt. Every day there's dirt. Every day there's dirt. And then one day something sprouts up and you're like, it's awesome. And so guess what? Just be encouraged because life is about to come forth. And not only are we going to see the plant, we're going to see the flower and we are going to see the fruit. I believe that with my whole heart. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. So again, when Rahab was pulled out of her situation, she took the side of God against her own culture, against her own people, against all that she knew. When she made that agreement, all she knew is that there was an agreement for her and her loved ones to be saved. There was no details. There is no financial plan. There is no anything, no provision for food or clothing or all those things that you think about when you're planning on going somewhere, right? If it just meant her and her loved ones, that's all she really cared about. That's all she needed to know, really. And that's all we need to know. When God tells us to do some and go from here to there, when we moved from the suburbs to this church here, and God said to go, we just went. Well, and we were prepared to leave because things got very hard. There was no room for us to grow into who God was calling us to become. Many of us for the first time became leaders. Pastor Oz became senior pastor for the first time, instead of just an associate pastor. Some of the intercessors became intercessors and prophetic people and all that. Teachers were birthed, evangelists were birthed, and it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again on a scale, and we may be in a different ministry by then. We may just be mothers in the faith or your fathers in the faith and saying, yeah, go, to the little ones or whatever. I don't know what that's all going to entail, but God does know. So, but it is coming. It is coming. Okay, so when Rahab agreed to this agreement with the spies, she had already purpose in her heart to align herself with God. She'd already purposed in her heart when she heard the stories that this is the way that she wanted to go. And so when that happened, faith was born in her heart, not fear. Faith was born in her heart and she acted, which means she was moving in faith by the things that she did. I mean, she risked a lot by hiding them. It could have been off with her head. The king summoned her, about the spies, and she had a strategy from God to omit some of those things, whether it was a outright lie or not. I'll let you be the judge, but this is a case where it's an exception, and God does do that. When you think he's always going to do A, B, and C, and he throws Z at you, you got to flow with whatever he's calling you to do. So she chose alliance with the Lord, and her deliverance and the deliverance of her family started before the spies came, and it was kind of confirmed and cemented when she made that agreement with the spies. So she had an opportunity to let go of not just the comforts of her life and the things that you think that you need. She let go of all of the history, the shame, her past, her how she felt about her body, probably. She had a true conversion. She changed agreements or contracts and became a covenant woman. And in Joshua 2:12, it says Rahab asks for mercy, and she says, "I don't deserve it, but I believe you can save me." And that's a what a great attitude to have. I don't deserve it, but I know, Jesus, you can save me. And that's a disposition of humility that God always, he always will honor humility. He loves humility. You know what he hates? Pride. It says in the scripture, those seven deadly sins, one of them is pride, right? One of them is dividing people from one another. So, the body of Christ at large in the United States of America, in their political positions, is doing something that God Almighty hates. He hates it. So, we got to stop living in this surface reality of just our earthly realm and start adopting, the things of heaven, the things eternal. I'm not putting all my trust in a party or a system or even my country or any other thing except the kingdom of God. And I have to remind myself of that often, right? Like, I need to trust the Lord, and I need to love people in spite of where they're at, especially politically. But I want to be part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Not a part of dividing people. There are times when you do share truth because that's love, right? It's faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you're my friend and I think you're really in error, if you are a good friend, you'll hear me out. And if I'm a good friend, I'll hear you out. And those kinds of discussions are not happening right now, especially in the church, but hopefully that's going to change. I think once things get shaken up, it will change because God is faithful to present to himself a bride without stain, wrinkle, and blemish. So really, it's not up to us except for what he puts on our heart to do, right? So I don't deserve it, but I believe you can save me. And then again, in verse 18 of Joshua chapter 2, then comes the scarlet cord. And we're going to talk about that next week because there's such a prophetic image and so much symbolism there that we really want to concentrate on that because there's so many things. I mean, just off the top of your head, you think of the blood at the doorpost, right? You think about the blood of Jesus and those kinds of things. So just let your imagination work there. And I honestly, I'm done, but I do want to pray. Lord, thank you so much for being real. Thank you so much for being who you are. Lord, unveil your person to us, Lord, in every area of our lives, Lord God. Call your people to separate themselves, the precious from the worthless, to choose light instead of darkness, to align ourselves with your word and what's right against every other cultural wrong in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Continue to prepare us. Bind us together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I'm done. So I'm going to say adios to all of you, my friends, and I'll see you next week. And we will continue with Rahab and the Scarlet Thread.